Today's Bob Kislev this year is sponsored Le'ilui Nishmas Rabbi Shmuel Yaakov Rav Pinchas Shagir, the Chrono Droga on his yahrzeit by Esther Marco.
Pinto.
We are going to learn Le'ilui Nishmato.
Well, I know
them. I see that, that Rabbi Adler made this announcement in the previous year, but there are new people who've come. The only guidelines in the event of an alarm or an explosion, as quickly as possible, make your way to the stairwell on the second floor of the building, up one flight, and stay there for 10 minutes, if not given other instruction. For those who can't get to the stairwell in time, you should find a place in an inner room of the building, or probably even the hallway over here would be better. Lie on the floor and cover your head with your hands. There's only Starfum, but it was pretty scary when we had that alarm right before Shabbos, this past Friday. I was on my way to Mincha, or if I had gotten Mincha, I was on my way to Kabbalah Shabbos. When I got into shul, they were starting Lechul Neranana, but on my way to shul, one house away from shul, the siren went off, and I went running into the building there, number 12, and then people, the street emptied into that building. So it was before Shabbos began, unless there are other neighborhoods where there are...
After candlelight.
It was about 20 minutes, 25 minutes after candlelight. And yes, it gave us a little bit of a taste of what people are living through and day after day, and what's going on this morning. It's unbelievable.
What's happening?
Shooting all morning. But this miracle in Be'er Sheva, the bus driver stopped his bus, told everybody, get off the bus. A minute later, the bus was flown by. That's not a celebration, so let them over here. You're in the middle of a war, Papa. And we have to feel for our fellow Jews.
Don't I feel for my grandson?
So we're going. This year is going to be related in some way to what's happening in the country. The shiur today is based on a Sichat Musar of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, who was the Rashiva of the Miri Yeshiva. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful and significant thought that really relates to each and every one of us. Like we have to know what he says. Without further ado, let's go. Vayetzi Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Vayetzi Chorora. Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and he went to Chorora. The Baal HaTurim, the first Baal HaTurim on the Parsha. It's on the line. Vayetzi Yaakov, Yesh Omrim Sheparsha Zu Stuma, V'Hatam Lefi Sheyotza B'Seser U'Borach Be'Eichavei. If you look at the Chumash, you'll see there are samachs and tays at different points in the Chumash. The samach and the pay is an indication of how it's written in the Sefer Torah. When you have a pay, it means the parasha is going to be open. Open meaning that when the sofer gets to that pay, he doesn't write pay in the Sefer Torah, but pay stands for potuach, betucha, open. It means that he leaves until the end of the line, nothing is written, And the next word begins on the next line. A Samach means that a new parish is beginning, but Samach means Sulah. It's closed, which means the following. He will come to the Samach, and he's going to leave a space of 9 letters and continue further on the same line. So that the new parsha is really enclosed with words on one side of the line and the other side of the line. A parsha p'tucha means it starts at the beginning of the next line, like a new paragraph. It's open till the end. That's A and so on. Parsha Vayetze, there is no pause, interruption, or space of any sort from the beginning of the Seder to the end. You will not see in Parsha Vayetze, you're not going to see a Samach, you're not going to see a Pei, which means that in the state of the Torah, Parsha Vayetze is one long, run-on sentence. One sentence. No interruption. Nothing. Closed. Shut. Locked. Nothing open at all. No spaces at all of Parsha Vayetze. So the Baal HaTurim says, why is this so? This is highly unusual. Now, when I do Shnayim Mikra for Echo Targum, reading the Parsha twice, I go according to the Parsha to Chot and Sumat, which means that I knew that it's going to be a little more difficult this week, so I started already with Zoi Shabbos, and I read through the entire Parsha, just coming up the air every few moments, but I went through the entire Parsha from beginning to end. Which of course is always, good for me so that I'm focused on the parsha and I can really get to work on the shiur. But that's Vayetze. So the Baal HaTurim says, why is there no pause? The fact that there's nothing open sort of leaves the impression that everything is closed. And since Yaakov fled from before his brother, maybe at night, or in hiding, or secretly. So this is indicated by closed parsha. That's what the Baal HaTurim says. By the way, I did find a fascinating Sfat Emet, the Ger Rebbe, that's number 6. Let's jump to number 6, it's down at the bottom. The Sfat Emet says, the Seder Vayetze, in the Parsha, he calls it a Seder Vayetze, lo yimso shum parsha p'tucha u'stuma, there is no parsha open or shut. V'chein hu b'sifrei masorah, the Sfarim that give us the masorah of how Torah is written, ki lo yesh Seder kezeh v'torah zulat Vayetze. There is no other Seder like this in Torah except Vayetze. V'nida? I think I'm reading him right. He says the Hademes, it comes to indicate Shelo Pasak Avinu Yaakov Velo Husak Dato Meyitziato L'Chutz La'aretz Ad Shechoza Vayivku Bo Malach Elikim. He left Eretz Yisrael, and for the moment he left Eretz Yisrael until he returned, and at the end of the Seder he meets Malachim who are waiting for him as he comes back. His mind did not leave Eretz Yisrael. 20 years. That's what he was thinking about. The moment that he can return home. What a beautiful, beautiful. That's all. And it is, by the way, Parsha Vayetze, it's very fascinating. You know, there are malachim at the beginning of the Seder. He dreams and he sees this ladder with angels of heaven going up and down. There are malachim in middle of the Seder, one who comes to him in a dream. There are malachim at the end of the Seder, those who are waiting to greet him when he returns to Eretz Yisrael. There are also stones in this parasha. I'm just whetting your appetite. I'm not going to talk about any of these. There are the stones that protect him that lonely, dark night when he has the dream. And then when he comes to Choron, there's the big stone, the rock, that with in a single bound, he picks up what required many, you know. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Yaakov. Thank you. And then, of course, there's going to be a stone at the end, or a pile of stones at the end, etc., where a covenant is going to be made between Yaakov and Laban. Gal Aid. Okay. I'm not saying you think about that. That's your homework. I'm dealing with something else. I want to deal with now, what does Rav Chaim Shmulevitz say? So watch. Let's go to number two. Number two is a medrash. Vayomi Yisroel lo mahare otem li. This is later on in Parashat Mikates. Parashat Mikates, the brothers tell their father that they have to go back to Egypt. They need food, they have to go back. And then he gets upset with them and he says, why did you have to tell him that you had a brother? He said, don't come back. That tyrant in Egypt said, don't come back unless you have your little brother with you. So he says, why? Vayomi Yisrael. Yaakov, it's fascinating that in this pasuk he's called Yisrael. Watch. Lo mahareh otem li, why did you do this evil to me? L'hagid la'ish, to tell that man, ha'od l'chanoch, that you still have a brother. Back to the Medrash. Rav Levi b'shem Rav Chama bar Chanina, Rav Levi in the name of Rav Chanina bar Chama, Rav Chama bar Chanina said, Me olam lo omar Yaakov avinu dover shel batola elo kach. There was never in his life anything that Yaakov said that was meaningless. This is the only statement that he said that really made absolutely no sense whatsoever. Why? Elokar Chomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rebbeinu was saying to himself, Ani Yosek Lahamlichet V'no B'Mitzrayim, I am in the process of turning his son into a king in Egypt, and he's going to be the source of salvation to the Jewish people, and he's complaining, why did you tell the man that you have a brother? And he, Yaakov says, Lama hade otem li, why were you bad to me? Hudu huama, and that's what meant when Yeshayahu says, Nisra darki me Hashem. Man thinks that his way is concealed from before God. And he doesn't know really what the meaning of the event is. He thinks this is a terrible tragedy that they told Safnat Paneah that they had a brother Binyamin, and now they have to take Binyamin down. Yaakov is frightened. Who knows what's going to happen to him? He no longer has Shimon, and he no longer has Yosef. Now Binyamin is going to... And the Levitian is sitting up there and saying, they Yankel, you don't know what's happening. I'm in the process of creating greatness for you. If Chaim Shmulevitz says on this Medrash, what a beautiful thought. It's really the thought of the Medrash. When events happen to us, we have no way of judging it except on the basis of what it means to me right now. I have no idea what the future holds. I cannot see the particular event now within the context of a larger period of time. So you think it's a terrible, terrible thing. And then, you know what will happen? A few years later, you're going to find out that which I thought then was so terrible, It was one of the greatest things that ever happened. If you think about it, you will all find that each one of you in your own lives suffered like that. I remember, I can't tell you all the details, but it was the last year we were in Toronto, so I to make a living, I had to teach someplace that I didn't want to teach. I had to teach someplace I didn't want to teach. And every morning, to get up and go, and I wanted to make sure that nobody sees me going into the building, coming out of the building. It was, and the Rebbeisha must have been thinking of this.
Go. You don't know what's happening here.
So of course what did happen? Years later, 13, 14 years later, I'm in terrible shape here in Eretz Yisrael trying to build something. And a student that I met in a class then told me up by my bootstraps. His name was Avram Silver. All of us. Avram Silver was a student of mine in that year that was an extremely painful year for me. He gave me money, he was yet alive, young man, he gave me the money to build my shul. And then unfortunately he was a very good friend and great Baal Tzedakah. He died at age 42.
Wow.
Hey. Took ill and within a few months. And then his alma Bonnie is the one who dedicated this school. If you look outside the building up on top, you'll see Avram Silver Jerusalem College for Adults. So here was that year that was so painful for me. You have no idea, I can't tell you how painful it was. And then there were a number of other schools from that one year who've gone on to become really true, great for me, the Chavonim Jewish leaders, all that one year that I was sick about it a whole year. Geves, that's the best way to put it, Yiddish. Geves, go know. Go know that what at a particular moment in time seems like something so terrible. And then it turns out, God. There are other instances, you'll think about it. There were things that we were so pained with here in Eretz Yisrael, and the Rebbeisha most probably was laughing at us. He was just laughing. Just wait a little bit, you see, it'll turn, it's going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. It doesn't always work out okay, but very, very, very often it does. The Vilna Gaon, in a letter that he left to his children, wrote, remember, you may laugh tomorrow about that which you cry today. And you may cry tomorrow about that which you laugh today. And our problem is that we're limited. We're limited to the moment. We can only judge events and things that happen to us and to others on the basis of the information that's available to us. But we don't have the rest of the information. We don't know how things are going to turn out. That's what the Midrash is saying. Yaakov Avinu was complaining to his children, Lo mahagayesim li never, why did you do this to me, that you told that man that you have a brother? And the Midrash was thinking, so Yaakov, look, I'm in the process of making your son a king. He's going to be the source of your salvation for years to come. But he doesn't know that. He doesn't know that. Obviously, we're going to reach the point at the end of this year, and I don't even mind telling you the end of this year. Just, wait. But then we'll give you the middle. We're not going to stop there. Can you imagine how Yaakov Avinu feels that night at the beginning of the search? He's alone, cut off from his family, he flees before a brother who wants to kill him, whatever he had with him, he's robbed. Like his nephew, Eliphaz, he's left homeless, penniless. It's at night, it's cold, it's dark. The whole world is falling apart around him. There's nothing. He has nothing. Going nowhere. Nothing. It can't be more nothing than what Jacob is at the beginning of the center. Fast forward to the end of the center. Four wives, 11 children, one wife, Rachel, is pregnant. Kavodim, Shvachos, Gemalim, Tzom, Tokar. The man is mighty, the man is powerful, the man is wealthy. He has a family. This is a tribe. This is going to be a great nation. What a difference from the beginning of the Seder to the end of the Seder. So Reb Chaim says, that's why you have to read this Seder from beginning to end in one breath. You can't stop and pass judgment on any one moment because you don't know how it's going to end up. You don't have a clue. The Yaakov Avinu, who under other circumstances would have fallen into absolute despair, well, he has that dream. And that dream tells him that I'm going to be with you, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to provide for you, and I'm going to bring you back home. So you have to read the story in one breath. I believe it's, let's say the following. Our individual lives and the lives of, and the life and the history of the Jewish people, either, I like the muscle of a crossword puzzle. You take a look at all the pieces, it's nothing. And then, of course, you have to watch a, it's not for us to do. You need a five-year-old. And a five-year-old sitting on the floor, and he starts doing it. And the little henteler fly around and find pieces and put them here and put them there. All of a sudden, our lady see, there's a sky. The that looks like a tree trunk. And until finally, it's all completed. Jewish history is the same way. Jewish history is the same way. You can't understand or judge or fully comprehend any particular moment in time without being tuned in to the whole context. And there are periods in Jewish history we may never understand until that great day that Bar Yashem Lamelech, God will be king over the whole earth. But one thing I do want to say, we happen to be living at a moment in history where a good part of the puzzle has already been finished. We can see the outlines of it all. And by the way, we can see the outline of exactly what the Revelation told Yaakov Avinu that night. I'm going to bring you back. 3,500 years later, he's bringing us back. And we're here. And we're strong. And we're powerful. Not so we're in the middle of another war. We're in the middle of another war. Okay? How long will it continue? We don't know. Will this come with frequency every few years? We don't know the meaning of it all. But I have a feeling. It's a feeling. What can I do? We emerge strengthened from each one of these great tests. Maybe we even emerge with a little bit more savor to realize what tragic mistakes we made in the past and that we may be paying for the mistakes that were made by some of our leaders. We learn something. We become stronger. I tell you, have you noticed the number of world leaders who are visiting this country this week? You're kidding me. First of all, no world leaders came here while rockets were raining down for the last 4 or 5 years. But now all of a sudden, if you want to be a macher in your own country, you know what? You have to be able to come back and say, you spoke with the You need to know who I told him. I said, everybody's coming over here. Hillary is coming tomorrow, you understand? Hillary's coming. Coming today. Hillary's coming today. Young Fleishy, I'm lying to tell. I think the foreign minister of France has come. The foreign minister of Germany has been here already. Kreidish, McCann, everybody. This is the place, Aliyala Dagger. Aliyala Dagger, you understand? And when do they come? They come. They come here when colony soil is strong. 73 years ago, 400 rabbis in Washington couldn't get one rabbi in to see Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The March of the Rabbis on Washington, one of the great moments. When American Jewry spoke up on behalf of the Jews of Europe, wouldn't even see them. Now, to see a representative, an elected representative of the Jewish people, each one of these guys is going to go back. The foreign minister of Germany is going to give who knows how many interviews about his discussions, what I told to Benjamin. And the guy from France, Anil Maha, he said, to Bibi, and said, if he wants to be, you know, show that he's really on close terms with our friends. And Elam Hashekah. No, we suffer, they're not here. When others are suffering and paying for their sins, that's what they're here. This is what Rav Chaim says. Rav Chaim says, Yaakov Avinu complains to God, why did you do this to me, sort of? Or he's really saying to his sons, why didn't you do this to me? But he doesn't know. He doesn't know that great things are about to happen. Let's go further. Let's go to number three. Famous Gemara. Famous Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Meir, Rav Huna said, in the name of Rav, in the name of Rabbi Meir, Chaim Tona, and we also learned this, Mishrei Rabbi Akiva, in the name of Rabbi Akiva. La'olam yehei adam ragel lomer, a person should always be accustomed to say, call the Ovid Rachmana with Tar Ovid. Whatever the merciful one does, he does for the best. This is really another way of saying what Rabbi Akiva's great Rebbe used to say. Rabbi Akiva had a Rebbe by the name of Rav Nochum Ish Gamzu. Gamzu. He was the one who would say when terrible things would befall him, he would say, Gamzu the Torah, this is also for the good. Rabbi Akiva was his great student, and Rabbi Akiva learned that from his Rebbe. And he said, Kol the Ovid, Rachmana, whatever God does, the Torah. And the Gemara gives the famous story. Should have learned it in kindergarten. He heard that Rabbi Akiva, the story of Rabbi Akiva, that was also beautiful. He was on the road, he was traveling. He reached a certain city. He requested lodgings. He went from house to house, knocking on doors. They should let him in, stay for the night. He has no place where to be. It's dark, it's cold, it's scary. Omar called the Ovid Rachmana L'Torah. He said that whatever the Rishon does is for good. Can you imagine how many doors must have been closed in his face? Somebody else would have been despondent, downtrodden, on the very brink of despair, unhappy. No, called Ovid Rachmana L'Torah, whatever God does is for the good. Ozar Ubat B'Dabros, he went and he camped out and he slept out in the field. The Avavahadei he had with him, Tarnagoylo, the Chavora, Ushava. He had a rooster, a donkey, and a lamb. This sounds a little bit like Chav Gadya. Also Zika, a long kettle wing, Kavya the Shraga, and it blew out the lamp. Also Shunra, this Mamesh already, Chav Gadya, a long came out. Arketzala, an Achle and a Tarnagola, and it ate the rooster. Also, Arge, along came a lion, and Achleil Chamora, and ate up the donkey. So here it is, Akiva is outside of the city, it's dark, it's damp, it's cold, it's scary, and he's left with nothing. No rooster, no donkey, no rooster, no donkey, and what else? No light. And the rooster he needed, that was his traveling along clock. The rooster would wake him up in the morning. And I was garnished. He's left with nothing. So then, the Gemara says, so what did he say? Rabbi Akiva said, cold over Rachman, on the top of it, whatever God does is for the good. That very night, an army came and captured the city. So Rabbi Akiva said, didn't I tell you? Call the Ovid Rahman al Tavavid, whatever God does to the good. If I would have had my rooster, they would have heard the rooster, and I would have been finished. They would have heard the donkey bray, and I that was the end of me. They would have seen my lamp. No. He went through the night, called the Ovid Rahmana al Tavavid. If one would be judging each one of these events, nobody lets him in for the house. He has his three things, his rooster, his donkey, and his lamb. Each loss is a terrible loss. He's in a desperate situation. And Rabbi Akiva, by the way, this is very indicative of the whole neshama of Rabbi Akiva. We gave a shiur a few years ago on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had a tremendous power of looking beyond the moment. The rabbis and Rabbi Akiva are on Haratzofim, and they're looking down at the Harabayit, and they see a fax coming out of the Kodesh HaKadosh, the Holy of Holies. They begin to cry. They take Kriya and they cry.
And he's
smiling. And you know the whole exchange over there, why you're laughing, why you're smiling. What was it? Rabbi Akiva was able to see beyond the tragedy that he saw there. He was able to look beyond the moment. And he saw, there will yet be a day if the prophecy of destruction has been fulfilled so precisely that all the prophecies of the return of Jews to Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim will also be fulfilled. And how many times do I say we are the beneficiaries of that vision of Rabbi Akiva? Let's see. Take a look at number four. Number four is from the Perush HaMishnayos of the Rambam. The Rambam's commentary to Mishnah, like all of his works, it's an awesome work. And this is on the Mishnah at the end of Masechta Brachos that a person says, if the Gemara says that you should be mevorech al ha'ro'o k'shem shemevorech al ha'tovah. We have an obligation to bless God for that which befalls us that's bad, just as we do for the good. And it means, therefore, to be able to say the bracha of Baruch Hashem Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Dayon HaEmes at the funeral of a dear and beloved one, and to mean it, very difficult. So the Rambam says, Sheyikablein b'simcha, you should be able to receive suffering and punishment with joy. V'yichbosh v'yichshotav. And sort of conquer your feelings, the yashav dato, and you should be well thought out. Doesn't mean that one shouldn't cry and one shouldn't mourn, but the moment that you say the bracha, you should be able to concentrate and think like, listen, this is what God wanted. That he should look similar to what he is when he says the bracha of Atova Meitiv, when we thank God for the good. וכמו שאומרים חכמים, ברוב עניינים. As our rabbi said in many instances, כל מהדעבין משמיא לטוב, whatever is, comes from heaven is good. וזה דבר מושכל אצל הנבונים. Rambam was a great rationalist, and the Rambam says that this is something that is clearly understood by people who have understanding. Therefore, people who is hero all of our Torah, even though the Torah never told us anything of this sort, but we're intelligent people, and we know what it means, what the Torah in the Galatian means. Lefi shahar beivarim nechshavim lechavim, because many things are considered bad for Tzilatam at the very beginning. The sofa medim tova gedola, and the end is that they bring great good. Many things start off one way and end up completely the other way. V'harve vodim nechshavim v'neishisom tov via the sofa ma, and there are many things that at first are considered very good. This is terrific, and the end is that they bring to bed. That's really what the Vilna Gaon was saying. You may laugh tomorrow about that which you cry today, and you may cry tomorrow about that which you laugh today. We don't know where things lead. We don't know where they're going to go. So therefore he says, Lachain ain't royal not only hipstair, bevot sorah gedola, ugzeira harat sakana. Therefore a truly understanding individual should not be pained when a great sorrow befalls and a difficult decree. Lefishe no yodea hatachus, because he doesn't know the end. So gam al yitpater yismach simcha rabba, he also should not be seduced to be very full of joy when good things happen. Lefishe no yodea hatachus, he doesn't know. He doesn't know where it's going to lead. Nobody knows anything. Nobody knows that. And I'm sure that every one of you can think of all sorts of things where you say, boy, I thought it was so bad. Boy, was it bad. Oh, I remember. No, we can't reveal old family secrets, you know, but, God, did we have painful times, and the painful times, then it happens the other way around too. Alright, one thing number five, let's go to the next page. Other side. Here, number seven, I want to read a little bit of that which was, this is from Rav Chaim himself, Vidovi. Top of the page, my uncle. That's Rav Chaim Shmulevitz writing about his uncle, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Sher. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Sher was at Moshiach in Hebron Yeshiva in Hebron. We're talking about 80 years ago. And also Hebron Yeshiva, the Yeshiva come in 1924 from Slabodka. Slabodka was a suburb of Kovna. Slobodka means suburb. Great yeshiva of Slobodka. So his uncle, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's uncle, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Sher, and he said, and you'll see another reason why this struck me as so fascinating. You're going to see, watch this. He would get one thinking, arouse one's thinking, Shezek Havonach HaNavi, that's the intention of the Navi, the Sibur HaZbonim Shel Hamloch HaShol. The story that's told about how Shaul becomes first king of Israel. What happened over there? Donkeys got lost. The donkeys got lost. His father lost donkeys. And this is a big loss. A big loss. So they send Shaul and his boy out to find the donkeys. And they're going 3-4 days, cross through all the land of Binyamin, the land of Yehuda, no donkeys. So now, loss number one was the donkeys. Number two, at home, they're very worried. Now they're worried not about the donkeys anymore, but what happened to Shaul and the boy. Ukishalot, yeah. Shalomaratonot with Kish of it. His father Kish's donkeys were lost, and Yotos Shol. Vinarol Vacham, Shol and his boy went out to look for them. Ukishalomatzol, when they didn't find it, saw Shol, Lazulabeso. Shol thought, let's go back home. We went, we looked, and we didn't find. Vinarol Amarol, the Shol, the boy turns to Shol and he says, let's go. Ask the Navi, ask the Prophet. When they came to the Prophet, Amalahem, the Shmuel says to them, Shalom Yosin al Nibo la Tonot, he shouldn't pay any attention to the donkeys. He's finding so, forget about it. What is the desire of all of Israel? You. Shalom doesn't know what's happening. So he says, my uncle Yitzchak Isaac shared the story over here. The Navi comes to teach us, She'ein lodom lishvot et hamikre ha'prati. You can't pass judgment on a particular incident at a particular moment. Ki afilu gon kitanin, even seemingly small things like the loss of donkeys or vedaka tunot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechavim behem l'tvarim gedolim. God uses lost donkeys in order to bring Klal Yisrael to one of the greatest of all things, Malchus, the establishment of a royal house. Donkeys, no. Donkeys, I ain't donkeys, Morgan. But look what donkeys bring. So now, I want to read down at number 8. Because when this already I thought about a week ago, and it's the last Tuesday's year. And I saw this, and I decided this is the most important pasuk that proves everything we said last week, you just see it on. And we'll remind you. Vayom Shol, the Narod Shol, said to his boy, good, let's go. We're going to the Navi. He said, let's go to the city of the Navi. They went to the city, Asher Shom Ish Halakim, that there, the man of God is there. Hema Olim, the Malay Ahar, they're on the way up to the city. Hema Matsu Na'arot, Yotzot, Lishot Mayim, and they see girls who are going out to drink water. And they said to them, Hayesh Lazeh HaRoeh, is the Roeh, the seer. And the Navi had explained that what we call today, a Navi was then called a Ro'eh. So they asked the girls, is the Ro'eh here? They answered and they said, that they must have all been speaking together at the same time at once. Yes, yeah, he made the Fonecha. Right before you. Maher, hurry, aton now, Kayon Bola here. He has come to the city today. Very interesting. Just when Joel and his boy come into town, that day the Navi came to the city. Why? Because there's going to be a sacrifice today on the Boma. Kivorachan here, this is still the girl's talking. Kivorachan here, as he come into the city, came to Tsunoto. There you will find him. Before you're going to come in and you're going to meet him in town before he goes up to the Boma. Lecho to eat. Because the people are not going to eat until he comes. They're doing a lot of talking. They could have just said, Lo Yashar! And you're going to meet him. No, they have a lot to say. Because he's going to say the bracha on the sacrifice, and afterwards those who are invited will eat. Now, Alu, go up. You're going to find him. So the Gemara says these two reasons why they talk so much. You understand? You know, somebody wants to be smart aleck will say, well, you know, that's women, you know, they just blah, 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 blah. That's a terrible thing. Yeah. I wouldn't take a chance saying that in this room. I wouldn't even mean it. So the Gemara gives two reasons. One reason is because Shaul was strikingly handsome. And they just wanted to look at him. He was an impressive looking person. And they just wanted to talk so that they can see. Then the Gemara gives the second answer. The second answer is that the time had not yet come for the leadership of the Jewish people to pass from Shmuel to Shaul. And no one can ever infringe on anybody else's position. Which means the moment that Shmuel's rule as the Shofet over Klal Yisrael is going to end, and Shaul begins, it's going to come in a few moments from now. We have to make sure it doesn't happen until the precise moment. Everything is figured out by the Gemara. Everything is precise. Now watch. Watch, and you'll see what got me jumping excited. They went up to the city. Hey, my boy, the Tokha here, Shaul and his boy are coming into the city. Behold, Shmuel, Yodzei Likratam, Shmuel is coming out toward them. La'alot ha'bama, to go up to the bama. Watch the next pasuk. Through me, in a good way. Vashem gila gala et ozen Shmuel yom echad l'fnei bo Shaul lemar. And God had revealed to the ear of Shmuel a day before Shaul had come, saying, do you see the past perfect over here? Not simply a past perfect, but a past perfect where it says, yeah, yesterday it happened. There's no other person can come out like this. I'm ready to bet on that. Because here it says clearly, God had revealed to him the day before, telling him that tomorrow a man is going to come to you. The Yaakov Natan Le'esav Lechem Nizid Adashim does not mean that Yaakov gave the Lechem Nizid Adashim to Esav after they concluded the negotiations. He had given before. And here it is. I don't think there's another prophecy tomorrow that's as clear as this. What had he been told yesterday? Kaik machad, this time tomorrow, Eshlach Elech Leish, I'm going to send a man to you. The Eretz Binyamin, from the land of Binyamin, Umeshachto Lenagid Al Ami Yisrael, and you shall anoint him as a prince over my people Israel. Vahushiat Amimi Al Plishtim, and he will save my people from the hands of the Plishtim. Kiroiti Et Ami, I see my people. Kibot Sarkoto Eli. Their cry has come to me. Here's the second one. Ushmuel ro'ah. Doesn't say Vayar Shmuel saw. No, look what the prophet wants to say. Shmuel had seen this man coming up, and he already is asking the Rebbeinu, is that the man? So this happened just a few moments ago, and the past practices, Ushmuel, and Shmuel had seen Ed Shaul, Moshe Ma'anavu. The prophet doesn't have to tell us what Shmuel is asking of God. We know exactly. And the Rosh says to him, Shmuel, look, you're right, this is the one, the fellow I told you about yesterday. Behold, here is the man Asher Amarti Alecha. This one is going to rule over my people. So Rabbi Yisrael Isaac Sher said, see? Look at all the things in this story that, the loss of donkeys. And then the loss, Shaul himself is lost from the family. Who knows what's happening? They're a little desperate to find out what to do. He doesn't want to go back home and say, you know, I failed. I couldn't find the donkeys. And you know what? It's leading to Malchus. Let's go back to number 7. Second paragraph there. Hashol, hakol, shakol, umadud, b'dikduk atzum. Everything is weighed and measured to precision. Because the Rebbeinu runs his world with precision. Just like we found there, Shehen Motsu Narot Yotzot Lishof Mayim V'Shalom. They found the girls, you know. Everybody has to be in place to do their job exactly when the Rebbeinu wants them. He's walking into the city, poof, the girls are just coming there, just there. Everything just seems, the last 3-4 days nothing worked out for Shaul and his boy. They're just wandering across Eretz Yisrael looking for the donkeys. And now all of a sudden, zest, knack, one after another, everything is happening. Like a clock. The girls are where the girls are supposed to be precisely when they are supposed to be there. They're going to talk long enough just to make sure that when Shmuel is finally going to anoint Shaul, it will be at the precise moment that had long ago been ordained for Shmuel's rule over Israel to end. Everything's precision. There they found the Narot Yotzot Lishof Mayim, and they asked them, Hayesh Bezeh HaRoeh? Is the seer here? They didn't answer simply, yes, hinei l'fanava. Yeah, hinei l'fanava. That's it. They didn't have to say more than those 3 words. Oh boy, those 3 words seem to be too long. Maherata, hurry now. They came. When you come to the city, you're going to find him. You're going to find him now. Pirshu Chazal, this is what the Gemara said. The Kolkach Lama, why were they, Hayu Mardichos, the Dvarim, Rashi says, why did they speak so long? Rav Yechon Lama, Tishay Malchus, no Gant, the Chazerta, still in the low Nima. One kingdom or kingship does not infringe on the other, even like a hair breadth. Everything happens with precision. Mechan, Movirim Atoliyot Melech, Gam Kishinid Melo Shuhu Asuk, the Kipus Hakonot. He's on his way to become king as he's looking for donkeys, you understand? You look for donkeys and you find yourself king. Umiyidah, Makhim Atoli Shmach Shuvat Hanarot, he's on the way, but he's being held up. He is being detained for a few moments to hear what the girls have to say. Time has not yet arrived. Shaul cannot touch the period of Shmuel's being the prince of Israel, given by Yehuda. Here is where Rav Chaim Shmulevitz arrives at his conclusion as to why Parsha Zuv Stuma. Why is Parshat Vayetze one long run-on sentence? No pauses in the middle, no interruption, no open Parsha, Parsha Ptucha, no closed Parsha, Parsha Stuma. V'nida shezehu akam, this is the reason. She Parsha Vayetze Stuma, Parsha Vayetze is closed. Ve'en bo revach, ben Parsha lo Parsha, there's no break between one Parsha and the next. Ki lo chalokim chalokim hum. Because it's not a parasha of parts. These are not separate and distinct events. They are all part of one chain, inextricably intertwined, all part of one story. El kol prat uprat, each and every detail. Shel parashat Yaakov mitzadeif l'chesbon pali echad shel binyan am Yisrael. Each one of the details in the life of Yaakov in this Seder are all part of one great story. The story which is to bring to the building a Jewish people. We have to look at it, and we're capable of seeing things that that 70 years ago one could never even have dreamt of. Never dreamt of. We couldn't even talk in the terms in which we talk. We can see now that so many events that took place over the years were all leading in one direction. For 1900 years, it was leading in one direction. And we can see now, we can begin to understand why there were people who were really, you can either call them great patriots or great officers who came here and were mission nefesh to plant the first seedlings at the end of the 19th century. They suffered. The Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon that came 100 years earlier, the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, very what they went through. One of the great Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, of Yisrael Mishklov, who wrote a magnificent sefer of great importance until this very day, Parat HaShulchan, lost 9 children in plagues here in Eretz Yisrael. Who wouldn't have run from here? Didn't run. 9 children. And they stayed. These were Shibun, they stayed. And every step of what they were doing in the 19th century, first half of the 20th century, every step, now we can put them all together, except one. One event is just out of the ballpark. We can't even figure that into the story. That's the show up. Okay, don't understand that? Get it? Oh. But otherwise, everything has been leading up to exactly where we are at this particular moment in history. You would have attempted to talk about the situation of Klal Yisrael 100 years ago. You would be looking at really one little part of Jewish history. Now, I can see already that little kid on the floor is getting ready over there. There are not many more pieces that have to be put in to complete the entire puzzle. Less and less pieces are needed now. But still, what do we learn from Rabbi Akiva? Called overdraft one on the top of it. It's very difficult to live that way. We're human and we suffer. And we have pain, and we have joy. It's very difficult, very difficult. But listen, that's what Rabbi Akiva said, and that's the halacha. You know, we're talking about emotions that halacha, in a sense, dictates. When the halacha says that we should make a bracha al hara, kishen shemavarech al hatova, to be able to say baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, dayan ha'emet. And to say it with feeling is a very, very great challenge for any human being. But that's the fact. That's the fact of history. We never know. We never know what one thing can bring things happen. Like, are they all leading in the right direction? In other words, what it really means is you should be happy with good things. But even the happiness needs a, you know, Adkan, okay? That's it. Take it. Thank the Chavein Shalil. Don't go broadcasting everything to the whole world, you understand? Not a big mitzvah to broadcast everything. We have suffered from people who broadcasted things to us over the years when I was unemployed. And our Kablan went bankrupt, and chances are we'd never have an apartment, you know. So, you know, friends from Chutzar who came and bought apartments, you know, vacation apartments, and they tell us about their apartment, that it has this, that it has that. And I'm sitting there and thinking, hey, come here, give me a break. Do you know what I'm going through? And I think I'm going to get great reward for just having sat there and thought that night, I'm really happy for you. That's the way it is. We don't know. So even that period, you should know. I can't reveal everything. It turned out very good. It should turn out very good for all of Claudius now. No Jews should be hurt today or ever. And I don't know. All that I pray for is that the Levanim should give our leaders the wisdom to make the right decision.
Amen.
That we shouldn't have to go through this terrible cycle of violence again.
Amen. Amen.